M. Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The same deadly system that's caused chaos this week in the South is now headed northeast. WBZ Radio's James Rojas is in Boston.
The emergency declaration comes as we're looking at some extreme cold weather with wind chills below zero starting Friday and cold air lasting through Sunday.
Staying inside, for sure, staying indoors.
I feel like I want to stay inside this weekend instead of doing any like outdoor sports because too cold for that too.
Any errands we're running, it's like in a very small radius of home.
James Rojas for CBS News, Boston.
In Washington, President Biden's meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus. They're discussing police reform in the wake of Tyree Nichols' death in Memphis.
From my perspective is, how can we make some progress on police reform of consequence and violence in our communities?
Congressional talks fell apart after George Floyd's death. A councilwoman was shot and killed outside of her home in New Jersey last night. WCBS TV's Christine Sloan is there.
There was two sets of four shots, like pop, 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 pop. And they saw somebody running into the woods.
Neighbors in this tight-knit community heard the gunshots. Investigators say 30-year-old Republican Sayreville Councilwoman Eunice Jumfor was shot and killed in her car Wednesday night outside her home.
Where the bullet casings were, that was up the street. Where the car ended up was about a good 50 feet down, and it crashed into the parked cars.
Police are still searching for a shooter. We're hearing the terrifying 911 calls out of Monterey Park, California, where 11 people were murdered last month.
Somebody using a gun shooting people inside the studio. So we just came out.
This happened on the Chinese New Year. The 72-year-old gunman later killed himself. The Pentagon's now tracking a suspected Chinese surveillance balloon that's been spotted over U.S. airspace.
The White House says the president asked the top brass for options and received a strong recommendation from Pentagon officials that the balloon not be shot down because of the risks that might be posed to those on the ground. We're told it's the sense of U.S. officials that the balloon has limited value from an intelligence collection perspective and that the U.S. is now gaining insights as it tracks the balloon.
CBS's Stephen Portnoy. The Republican-led House has removed Minnesota Democrat Ilhan Omar from its Foreign Affairs Committee, citing anti-Israel comments. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
She said the American military was equal to Hamas and the Taliban from a member of the Foreign Affairs. She said Americans only like Israel because it's all about the Benjamin.
Democrats say the GOP is targeting Omar over her race. And health officials want people to stop using over-the-counter drops called EsriCare artificial tears. It's linked to an outbreak of infections in at least 55 people in 12 states and one death. This is CBS News.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Local school districts around Wisconsin have some decisions to make about spending coronavirus relief money. Schools have until fall of next year to earmark that money, but many of them are making those decisions this spring. Wisconsin schools got $1.5 billion in relief money. So far, they've reportedly only spent or budgeted about a third of it. Wisconsin elections officials are changing the rules for poll watchers after complaints after the last election. Poll watchers say rules are unclear and inconsistent from place to place. A new advisory committee will come up with new rules. It's a mix of voting experts and partisan appointees. Could take up to 2 years to pass new rules. In sports, the Bucks trimmed the Clippers last night, 106-105. The Badgers beat Ohio State. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold,
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Monday mornings at 8 on the Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. すごい! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great too.
Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, this discussion, and maybe the American people don't want to even give a second thought about where we are after the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. But what they fail to understand is those skirmishes in Afghanistan and Iraq were not any real, they were nothing compared to what we are talking about. Now, these could lead to what's called the wars of Armageddon because of the power. You to dismiss the power of Russia and say, Sandy, that they're not equal to us. We spend more money on weaponry than they do. Our stuff is all, you know, state of the art. And they've got the old tanks and they've got the old, all of those things. That none of that stuff matters because they have a hell of an arsenal of nuclear weapons, more than we do individually, a lot older, but they're still nuclear weapons, Sandy.
Well, I don't know what the level of sophistication is. I know that they've shown they have these hypersonic missiles. They've actually used some in Ukraine. They've demonstrated that these things travel at multiples of the speed of sound. There's a frigate that has sailed in the Atlantic offshore of the United States that apparently has nuclear missile capability in it. Hypersonic nuclear missile capability, probably indefensible from our standpoint. And the fact is that because we're so much stronger than Russia in so many ways, they will, if they feel an existential threat, just like we would if we felt an existential threat, be likely to be to use their nuclear missiles. So we have to be very careful. And I do think the Biden administration has, in what they've said more or less privately, and when they talk about their strategies, they demonstrate that they are using care. But I worry that the domestic political process has gotten us all spun up domestically about how it is that we must defend democracy and we must provide Ukraine all of the resources it needs to defend its democracy. Similarly, we're using the same kind of rhetoric with Taiwan, which is, if it's a democracy, is a very newfound one. And Taiwan, which we have recognized in our prior actions as being part of the Chinese, the country of China, and we have refused to recognize it as a freestanding, independent country. So we're beginning to spin up our domestic politics into a very jingoistic mindset about both Taiwan and Ukraine. And if we get involved with those in any kind of substantial way, we are risking immense cost to the country. And by cost, I don't just mean dollars and cents. I mean troops. I mean danger, endangerment to the world. You know, we kind of recklessly run around trying to project our power. I read a thing that showed that the Russian military budget is well under $100 billion a year. Ours is $785 billion. You know, yeah, they aren't as powerful as we are, but they are going to do whatever is needed to defend their existence. And we better not trifle with that.
You know, Sandy, and I know.
And incidentally, Russia is not a communist country. It's an autocratic country. It's not a government that we'd like to emulate, although maybe there was a president who kind of liked the idea of establishing an autocracy. But, you know, there's not a, we don't have an ideological fight with Russia.
And
I've heard people talk today in an echo of the old Cold War that we have this ideological fight with communist countries like Russia. Russia's not communist.
And even if they are, it's their business.
Well, it is their business, but they aren't, okay?
I know.
Communist and China is a communist country, but its version of communism has morphed a great deal from the Mao Zedong communism, number one. Number two, Mao Zedong communism never was a threat to mainland United States or to our health and safety at all.
So, Sandy, what I will say to you is I'm more concerned about the fact that this doesn't get much play from the standpoint that it's not something that the American people are even concerned about because they don't think this could ever happen. You know, they don't think it could ever happen because they believe in the almighty and powerful United States of America.
Well, and in fact, we had a Cold War that lasted for decades in which there was hanging over our head the possibility, which never happened, okay? So we began to believe that this danger will never happen because it didn't ever happen, and we began to believe that. But we never were in the kind of circumstances that we are now. We were never in a hot conflict with Russia. You know, that never was happening. And we aren't in one yet, and we weren't in a hot conflict with China either. You know, Korea was a proxy war, and all of the wars we've had so far have at most been proxy wars, just like Ukraine is a proxy war today.
You know, Sandy, I continue to follow this, and you continue to follow this, and others continue to follow this, and the American people, again, don't believe it's possible. You and I know it's coming. We know that something is going to happen after Ukraine is overrun. It's going to be overrun. And whether people want to hear it or believe it or not, that 500,000 troops, you say there's a 1,440,000 Russians.
No, there's 144 million Russians.
Yeah, 144 million Russians.
And out of that, And all of the men have served in the military are subject to being called up to age 50, and it does cost them some internal domestic political pressure to make call-ups, but they will make the call-ups necessary.
44 million Ukrainians.
Right.
100 million more Russians than Ukrainians. That's significant.
Well, and millions of Ukrainians have emigrated from Ukraine to seek safety. Certainly lots of men have emigrated from Ukraine to avoid the danger of the war, just as about 300,000 young Russian men have left Russia to avoid the call-ups. But the reservoir of capacity for Russia far exceeds the reservoir of capacity, military capacity, of Ukraine. And we can't supply Ukraine with troops, and no one else is supplying them with troops. So the manpower is strictly Ukrainian.
And I want to say this to the audience. Sandy and I don't get any, you know, gain any solace by having a discussion about this. That's not, you know, the fact that we talk about Ukraine and some may think, hey, you guys are anti-Ukraine and pro-Russia. Nothing could be further from the truth. But we would be remiss if we didn't, Sandy, at least sound an alarm and just ask people to look for themselves, right? Just just look at what is taking place. You don't have to be well-versed in what's happening with our nation, the military might that it has, and all the bases and all those things. But you do have to think about what could possibly happen and how soon this could happen, Sandy. It's not like we're talking about something that, it's years down the road. This could flare up in the twinkling of an eye, right?
Within a matter of days, measured in a couple of months, this will happen, and there will be a terrible offensive battle. I think we should understand that Russia's appetite is pretty much restricted to the Donbas, Crimea region. They aren't going to try to take over the rest of Ukraine. This is what they wanted from the beginning. And the situation is dire. It's been horrible to watch. I feel for the Ukrainians. War is horrible for both sides. You know, if you're a man, you realize that at some point in your life you could get called up into a war. And whether you were a Vietnamese getting called up to the North Vietnamese military or the U.S. military, you all faced the same horror of war. And that's what's going on in between Russia and Ukraine now, the horror of war. But we just have to reevaluate American conduct internationally to make sure that we're looking at real American interests. I suppose Trump would call it America first. I don't believe in the America First doctrine with respect to international trade, but I do think that real politics requires that we evaluate the real American interest before we start flexing our muscle all around just because we have it, okay?
So Sandy, there was a balloon that wound up in American airspace.
Right.
The other day, that sent red flags. And the fact that, how dare China spy on us? They're spying on us.
Well, I you know.
Hey, I mean, we've got as sophisticated technology as there is. We won't be sending balloons flying over China. We've got satellites, as you stated,
right,
strategically placed that we know the movement of China's military, right?
Our satellites are so sophisticated with respect to their surveillance capabilities that if you go to look at the satellite photo of your house, you will see that you can see plants, you can see trees, you can see the roof, you can see your car and your driveway. It's very sophisticated, but incidentally, that level of surveillance which is being used for public purposes, is far less distinct than what is used for military purposes. And the military surveillance level has unbelievable surveillance capacities, which they won't let public entities use for fear that the rest of the world would understand just how very finite our capacity is to surveil.
So hold the thought. Got to go to a break. 844-967 2789. We'll be right back. I can't help it. If I wanted to, I wouldn't help it. Even if I could, I can't help it. If I wanted to, I wouldn't help it. No, I can't help it. If I wanted to, I wouldn't help it. Even if I could, I can't help it. If I wanted to, I wouldn't help it. No, no, I can't help it. If I wanted to, I wouldn't help it. Even if I could, I can't help it. If I wanted to,
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation with I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A wind chill advisory continues until noon today. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 6 above. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 2 above tonight. Mainly cloudy skies expected. More clouds than sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 32. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently 4 below.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Yeah, you know, it's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, U.S. Philippines agree to larger American military presence. Do you think the Filipino people say, yeah, we want... more American military bases. Clearly, they're going to get something for that. We're going to give them something, whatever it is, in order to make their lives a little easier, in order to put those bases there. But that's not what, you know, I really wanted to talk about. The United States and the Philippines on Thursday announced plans to expand America's military bases. And they said it was to deter China's increasingly aggressive actions towards Taiwan and in the disputed South China Sea. What? So we're putting military bases in the Philippines because maybe we want to send a message to China, keep your hands off the Philippines.
Think about what's going on here, which is the U.S. seems to be the only country that believes that it has this hegemony over all of the world's oceans. So, you know, no, we don't hear about the other massive fleets. You know, Britain used to have a big fleet until World War II, and we didn't. But ever since World War II, our fleet has become the policeman fleet for the world's oceans, which is an immense expense. And I think the American public ought to sit back a little bit and think, just really? Is that really something the American people should undertake the expense of, is policing all of the world's oceans? And what is it that we're policing about the South China Sea, which is clearly like policing the Caribbean, okay? The Caribbean is to the United States like the South China Sea is more or less to China. And so we keep playing in other people's serious strategic interest areas. And, you know, we carry out military exercises in the Strait of Taiwan, which, incidentally, people should understand. Taiwan is only as far offshore of China as Cuba is from the United States. And, incidentally, Cuba is only 100 miles offshore, okay? It's right there. And so sailing a bunch of military vessels between Taiwan and China would seem, I'm sure, to China like a very kind of threatening thing.
Yeah, right.
It would be a lot like Chinese sailing vessels between Cuba and the United States and see how we feel. Wouldn't be tolerated. Even if it's in international waters, we'd say, hey, military vessels is something different than just frigates, okay? And so we just should evaluate what we're doing. The American public needs to ask its government, why are we doing all these things? Why are we exposing ourselves to all this risk? Why are we creating this risk? Because incidentally, China only feels a need to act belligerently probably because we have decided that China is a belligerent as far as we're concerned, and so they have to treat us like a belligerent, and so now that changes their conduct. It changes how they spend their money. It changes what they spend their money on. And, you know, I've said it before, but international affairs involves Newtonian principles. For every action, there tends to be an equal and opposite reaction to the extent that someone is acting hostily. And we act hostile to China, we can expect them to react in a reverse and hostile manner. And to the extent that they carry out military exercises off of Taiwan, yes, what did we expect? This red balloon, I was glad to see that the Pentagon poo-pooed it because God knows we probably... The only reason this came out is because some people in an aircraft, a commercial aircraft, saw it, right? So it came out into civilian news, but I'm confident that there's constant surveillance going on. We surveil all the time, and that we presume, I'm sure, that the other countries can carry out surveillance as well. China has satellites. And I'm sure they'll have an increasing number of satellites.
You know, Sandy, it once again, if you just think just a little bit, right? You don't have to think as deeply as Sandy Williams does, but if you just give yourself a chance to think just a little bit, and you say Americans only make up 4% of the global population. We've got 750 or more military installation bases all over the world. We're a speck on the globe, right, Sandy? On the overall globe.
Well, on the population globe, we certainly are. In North America, and, you know, we talk about all these things, the reasons why we, you know, CJ would say that Afghanistan was important because it has important minerals. Well, now we're starting to wake up and mine those minerals in North Dakota. America is a huge geographic area with almost every mineral we could ever want. All we have to do is look for it.
Right.
You know, people in other countries have looked for it. The Afghanis found, minerals important for batteries. Okay, we've got it too. We'd have to look for it and mine it. I would remind Americans of the name Francis Gary Powers. He was the pilot of the U-2 that was shot down by Russia in 1960 when it was overflying Russia and doing surveillance. I mean, surveillance is something that countries do of one another, and is it so awful for one country to watch another one? I mean, actually, it's a way that we gain confidence that we're at peace and not at war. And in fact, one of the ways we've gained confidence of the and gotten comfort in this Ukrainian war is to be having ongoing surveillance of Russia and understand that they are not taking the steps necessary to carry out a nuclear war.
844-967-2789. You know, we'll be right back. You know...
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. There's word a suspected Chinese spy balloon is now high over the Midwest. Pentagon correspondent David Martin.
Military officials have recommended against shooting it down, but officials say that recommendation could change once the balloon gets over an unpopulated area.
China insists it's a civilian balloon conducting research. The government says employers tacked on 517,000 jobs last month. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
Although economic growth is weakening, the labor market remains resilient, which means the Fed is likely to continue raising interest rates.
The unemployment rate hit a new half-century low, 3.4%. Forecaster Craig Allen watching a northern deep freeze.
This dangerous chill has the temperatures already well below zero from Minnesota and Wisconsin across the lakes, as well as Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York State, and now moving into New England.
Wind chills dipping below zero. CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane McNair. Here's what you need to know. Former Speaker of the House Paul Ryan says he won't support former President Donald Trump if he runs again in 2024. Ryan telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, quote, "There are too many people like me in the Republican Party who would not support him if he were the nominee, and that's why I don't think he'll be the nominee, because everyone knows we'll lose the election if we nominate this guy again," unquote. The Republican from Janesville retired from Congress in 2018. Wisconsin's utility companies are putting big money into battery storage for clean energy. The parent company of Wisconsin Public Service and We Energy's WEC Energy Group announcing this week it's working on a pilot project to test a new form of long-duration energy storage at a power plant in Milwaukee. Also this week, Alliant Energy announcing plans to develop a battery storage system next to the Edgewater Generating Station in Sheboygan. I'm Jane McNair. This is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly could. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
They were going to show a video of Roger Stone recorded by Danish filmmakers.
Just Google Roger Stone Monopoly Man.
You remember the old Batman TV series? He looks like the Penguin.
It's like a bad costume for A Christmas Carol.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And I know that firsthand because I was in that every year as a kid. Always a street urchin, never a cratchit.
That needs to be the title of your autobiography. Always a street urchin, never a cratchit.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, right here on The Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Before we leave the subject, it's Friday. It means Friday's with Sandy Williams. Sandy, you and I both hope that things don't happen the way we see them developing. We both agree with that. Let's go to Bill from McConnell. Hey, good morning, Bill. Excuse me. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. You were talking about Russia and Ukraine, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I want both your opinions. You remember the history of Russia when they invaded Afghanistan, how they literally turned tail and ran.
Right.
Because of the ruthlessness that Afghanistan handled them. What do you think the odds are, because the technology's there, that all of a sudden Ukraine hits them in the breadbasket like Moscow, sends a severe message to say, you know, we're not just whistling here. We are serious for our country. Do you think that potential's there, and do you believe that would be a way of sending a message to Russia? Because they have a history when they believe they're up against something they can't handle. They run. What do you think?
Hang on, Bill. First off, Ukraine is in their backyard and is not halfway around the world. But Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, first of all, I think the way you characterized it was more or less the way CJ would characterize the way the United States left Afghanistan. And the fact is that I don't think that's an accurate portrayal of what happened to Russia in Afghanistan. They weren't there for a brief period of time. They were there for many years. And when they decided to retreat, they did retreat aggressively. They decided to retreat under Gorbachev after discussions with Clinton, actually. And or George Bush the first. And so I'm not sure that their retreat ends up being any more a sign of weakness than our retreat was. And secondly, I don't think so. I don't think that the notion of Ukraine reaching out and attacking Moscow will do anything more than bring down hundreds more thousands of troops into Ukraine and would frighten the bejesus out of the United States in terms of United States getting into a direct fight with them. Because like I said, yes, Russia isn't as strong as the United States, which is exactly why, ultimately, if Russia's existence is put into threat, they would be more likely to resort to nuclear weapons, which is a horror. And so my problem with all of this is not the rightness of the Ukrainian position or the morality of it. It's simply that the United States does not have a sufficient critical and strategic interest in Ukraine to be there and putting at risk everything that's being put at risk for Europe and the United States in the fight. And I'm,
Bill, what do you think the United States should do?
Well, they have two choices. I don't think they have anything more than two choices. Either really support them or leave. Because, you know, to have now those
well,
aren't
well,
easy
Bill, they ha- we ha- we have been supporting them, but to what degree? How far do you want to go with it? And to you know
to
what
support
cost?
Them enough to keep to support them enough to keep Russia out of Ukraine. Period. Even if you were talking about the Donbass region, I don't always say it correctly, but I know you were just discussing that, and Russia believes they own that. No, they don't own it. Ukraine owns it. And it's like maybe I grew up in a world where people made more significant statements when they entered into an altercation. Not Vietnam, but I'm talking in many other instances. I grew up with a dad that was a retired officer during World War II. And man, I'm glad to have him for a father. He never played games. It was what, you know, his way or the highway, or you know what I mean. I just can't believe we can keep on supporting Ukraine without accomplishing anything.
Well,
does that answer your question?
Well, yeah, but I mean,
hang on, Bill.
World War II was a very clear situation, and I don't think it's quite as clear the Ukrainian situation. We didn't do the same for Georgia, which is a country smaller than but comparable to Ukraine, who is also within the region of influence of Russia, and we decided to recognize that. We didn't do the same to Russia at the time of the Crimea annexation because there is a difference there. You know, both Crimea and the Donbass were part of
USSR.
Russia. No, part of Russia. During the period of the USSR, they were part of Russia until a Ukrainian native named Khrushchev became the head of the USSR, and he decided to revise the boundaries of Ukraine to include the Donbass region, which was an area of coal and steel production, and the Crimea to enhance the prestige of the Ukrainian Republic within the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Russia remembers that, and in the long history of the Romanov Empire before the Soviet Union, Crimea, and which was the site of Sevastopol, was very important and was taken over by Catherine the Great because of its importance as a warm water port. So I think American strategists understood the difference between the Crimea in particular, and the rest of Ukraine in terms of the Russian view of it. And so when the Crimea was taken over under the period of Obama, we started sanctions against Russia, but we didn't get into it with Russia, and neither did Ukraine. Ukraine didn't resist strongly at all. That war was a matter of days, and it was done. So I just think that whole region is fraught with much more complexity than we give it credit for. And when you say we should do everything necessary to keep Russia out of Ukraine, it's a land war, and it's a land war based on manpower and tanks if you don't use air power. We've neutralized the air power of Russia by the anti-aircraft capacity we've given to Ukraine. But if we want to neutralize ground forces, we have to give Ukraine air superiority in order to do that, because they don't have manpower superiority and won't ever have that. And the only way to neutralize that is air power. And air power is something that's very fraught with risk for the United States in terms of its what could happen. So what you say is can sound simple, but the answer, I think, to it is very complicated.
Am I still on the air?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, you are.
Okay. In response to that, Sandy, you're a lot more intelligent person than myself. I really appreciate how you look at everything that we're up against. But the U.S. has really lost way too many of these conflicts with lack of support, commitment, desire. But let's say we err on the side of caution. Let's just go with that. And let's say the election goes the wrong way and the Republicans pull out all support to Ukraine. Now what have we done? Now what have we done?
Well, I would
you
say,
know, that's
Bill,
another
Bill.
Consequence.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Bill. I would say in response to the fact that we've been involved in conflicts where we failed to win them, and I suppose that could most be said for Vietnam.
Right.
The reason for that is because we got involved in conflicts that were not a place where we had both a real interest or a real capability of solving. First of all, we didn't have an end game for Vietnam. You know, we got into Vietnam out of the momentum of the Civil War and the communists on one side and the non-communists on the other and the French, and we got into it and never could explain to ourselves why we were there, and then finally we backed out. And the same is true with the extended stay in Afghanistan. We knew why we were there in the first place, to chase al-Qaeda, but that was 18 months and done. And then we were there for another 18 and a half years. And so that was, again, a circumstance of lack of real interest and focus. And so, yeah. We failed to win. Number one, we failed to win for the same reason that Colin Powell was very smart about the initial Gulf War, where he said, you know, if we proceed to Baghdad, it will be ours, and what will we do with it? And so he recognized that the end game was an important question to ask yourself if you got into a war, and he was smart enough to keep George Bush from proceeding.
Don't you think, though? A counterpoint, just one last counterpoint, and I'll hang up, is that if we err on the side of caution, we accomplish absolutely nothing. But let's just talk about what Ukraine means to the U.S. right here and now. Oh, my gosh, if the Ukrainians could push the Russians back into Russia, and we had this support, and strategically, that could be a real feather in our hat to have that relationship with Ukraine right on the border of Russia.
Well, we already have
pushed them. Okay, go ahead.
Well, here's my question that I've been asking this for months now is, how do we decide who our enemies are, and when and why did we decide that Russia was our enemy? Because in 2005, they surely weren't. And in 1995, they surely weren't. Ever since the collapse of the Soviet Union, there was an opportunity for Russia to become an active, constructive part of what we now call Western Europe, you know, in terms of the being participating in trade and what have you. And we began to isolate Russia with the expansion of NATO and with the exclusion of them from consideration for the European Union and NATO. And so we isolated Russia, which began to drive them possibly into a corner. But all of what you're saying is premised on the fact that Russia is our inveterate enemy. And I'm not sure that's the case.
Well, don't you think, though, that Putin is definitely our enemy? Not Russia, Putin. And Putin is a psychopath. I don't think it would take much to actually get somebody to infiltrate him. All you have to do with somebody like Putin is make him believe his inside forces are going to destroy him, and he's done. He's finished. It's over. It isn't a matter of even military strategy. It's like the CIA or somebody else getting plants in there. Just make him think that he's going to be destroyed. That's his weakness. That's his real weakness. It isn't the firepower. It's his weakness of his mind. Would you agree or not agree?
Well, I don't. I wouldn't agree.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Here's my problem. Thank you. Here's my problem with that, and I think it goes back to a gaffe that Biden once had said, where he said, you know, we've got to get him out of power. I think that when the United States starts dabbling in other countries' actual domestic politics to unseat someone in power, they are making themselves a very much a hostile force with respect to that leader. We have to recognize Putin has solidified power in Russia to the point where he is an autocrat. If we start threatening him personally, what have we done and what have we accomplished? He's a 70-year-old guy. He's not there permanently. He's got a limited number of years left. He also has issues domestically. I just think we're way beyond what we ought to be doing when we start talking about choosing leaders for the rest of the world and putting America in that position.
So, you know, Sandy, Bill's a really good guy, real nice guy. But that's the issue. Somehow we, the United States of America, have the ability to dictate who should be the leader of other nations. Somehow we've been given that authority.
Well, and we've exercised it on occasion.
Yes.
We along with the British Secret Service, unseated Mossadegh, a democratically elected head of Iran in 1953, and put into power the Shah of Iran, who ended up, in retrospect, being a horrible guy.
Right.
Okay? And he set the table for the Khomeini revolution of the imams in 1979, and we forever changed the landscape of Iran and the capacity of the United States to deal with Iran because of what we did. And we didn't do it overtly. We did it just the way Bill said. We let our CIA get in there and muck around, and they did it, okay? And so I just think we as Americans need to be much more careful about it. We've done a lot of covert stuff down in South America. We played with Chile. We played with Peru.
Right.
The Chilean power play we did was probably very destructive, too.
Sandy, Bill is one of my favorite guys, and he loves the country.
Well, we were trained this way in the Cold War. We're patriots, and we have identified an enemy, which was called it Russia, but it was the USSR.
Got to go to a break. I'll see you, Tom. We'll come back on the other side, 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Jim Santel for just a few more minutes. As you point out, this is a civil trial, not a criminal trial. You think that the Trump org will end up with the death penalty under New York law.
Letitia James, she's doing a civil case, right? This is a criminal matter.
Oh, it is. So I misunderstood.
It is, yes.
Normally I leave the being wrong to Dom.
right?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A wind chill advisory continues until noon today. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 6 above. Winds out of the northwest 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 2 above tonight. Mainly cloudy skies expected. More clouds than sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 32. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently 4 below.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for News Talk Radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
All right. Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Early Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with Sandy Williams. And, yeah, we spent a lot of time in the last hour and a half talking about Ukraine, talking about China, talking about where we are. And I can tell you that wasn't any time wasted. We need to be talking about this more and not less. And more people over the airways in this country need to be talking and on television about what is taking place, how close we are to what we all hope is not going to happen.
Well, and I think Bill is an important caller because I think, Bill, what he had to say is what many, many, many people think. And, you know, and I can't say that what other people think is wrong. It's different than what I think. And it's different that than from what I perceive to be America's strategic interests. And I worry about what the outcome for America will be if that kind of thought becomes dominant in the current situation of China, Taiwan, Ukraine, and Russia, because we've got some very hot issues here. Not theoretical, not a Cold War, not a detente, you know. This is different, and so I worry about it.
Tom, yes, sir.
Yeah, Earl. So basically, you know, I think we all know kind of the nose under the tent, which is basically, again, money and politics and these military-industrial complex being used, their equipment being used in we the people's name, because if we keep on having little – you know, flare-ups, we can actually continue to give them weapons, which, of course, gets our military-industrial complex rich. But, Sandy, I will ask one question, because there are some people that believe this. Some people believe that Putin is just as dangerous and is doing just as much wreckage as Hitler did, and that we're almost in a situation where we have to be protecting these people because of the problems, you know, that Hitler is causing, and does that spread, you know, across the European nation. So I guess I would ask you, obviously you don't think that Putin is as dangerous of a character as a Hitler, but what...
Tom, do you think Putin is as dangerous as Hitler was?
I personally do not. I think that we need to do a lot more. As you know, I've always said, we need to be taking all of our money and putting it back to we the people. We need to be worrying about this country. I really don't believe that, you know, again, it's going to be whatever the media narrative is, though, yeah. Because the media narrative, just like they did with Saddam Hussein, made him into this, you know, complete tyrant that actually wanted to nationalize the oil. Until, you know, we went in there and took their oil. I mean, and then we privatized it. So it's all about privatization versus public.
Yeah, so with respect to your question about Putin,
and no. Bill is brilliant, by the way. Yeah. I love his calls.
Yeah. I do not think that Putin is a latent Hitler. I don't think that it's ever justified to attack another country, to invade it. So I think he's committed and violated international law. But I think I understand the issues that were associated with it. I think he's also demonstrated an absolute unwillingness to attack a NATO country, understanding that Title V under NATO would unleash a great deal against him that would be justified under international law. I don't think he's interested in pushing the nuclear trigger. I think he's interested in making sure that there is no existential attack on Russia. I think that
and that would make sense. And that would make sense with your actual, you know, position on this whole thing as well. So that is where we have to understand, is he as big a threat as Hitler, where he has to be taken out or, you know, somehow gone?
Yeah,
or is it something where we look at this and say, you know what, he's really not doing anything different than George war criminal Bush did?
Well, I think
by lying us into war.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I think that the issue is not that, you know, there are people who want to make the comparison when Hitler invaded the Sudetenland, which is Czechoslovakia. He said he was doing it to protect the German speakers and the German nationals who were living in the Sudetenland and being suppressed. So it all sounded, and there are people who can take that and hearken back to that and say, see, this is the Donbass is the Sudetenland, and it's all the same story. But Hitler had a plan for subjugating all of Europe. People would like to think that Putin has a plan to regain all of what was the USSR, but he's not going to take on NATO for Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia, and those are the only parts of the USSR that were brought into NATO. And he's formed a strategic union, much like NATO, with the rest of what was the USSR. So I just think the situation is different. We don't want to use the history to make ourselves make mistakes in the current.
You know, the thing I'll say is, we get ready to wrap this up, Sandy, is people need to look at the long-term impact of these moves. And it's easy to say we need to go in and we need to do this and we need to do that. But to the degree that the American people are going to be impacted in a major way, it's one thing to say it's wrong what's happening to Ukraine. It's another thing altogether to say that America itself is responsible for what's going on there, and that we alone are the ones who need to somehow bring Russia to its knees. That's a bigger task than I think, Sandy, than any of us want to even think about. And that's why, you know, emotions have to be taken out of it. And you know, long-term thinking about the impact of it, and that's kind of what Joe Biden is doing. And it's great that we're not doing aggressive things because of what, you know, this thing can wind up in.
Well, I just think, you know, with the policies, we're going to end up spending a lot of money, and there's going to be a lot of lives lost. And it, you know, if you do a lessons learned might tell you that the road to hell was paved with good intentions. And I'm afraid that we're on that road to hell.
All right. We got to get out of here, Sandy. Thank you, as always, for another great show. Another great week. We'll be back on Monday. Kind of thank you. You've been tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. Oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. Talking about you.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota Style 12 Grain, Multigrain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.